Welcome to Hype Podcast Gilmore Girls Season 5 Special, the Hype Girls Do Gilmore Girls. Very exciting. I'm Marima and I have with me Pam and Selena, as always. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hi.
And we're back in a reasonably timely fashion, question mark? No, we are. We had a pause between like 2 and 3, I think, or yeah. Like 1 and 2 even. But now we're on it because we have a deadline fast approaching.
Yeah, we've been fairly regular. I feel like people are generally pleased with us right now, so that's nice.
I hope so. At least we're on track to get everything done before the Netflix revival, which is a relief because there was a point there where we thought it seemed dark and hopeless.
Well, look, there was a point there where we thought we're basically going to be recording them all the week before, and poor Selena's going to have to not sleep so that she can get through all of the episodes.
Exactly. But I just watched so fast.
Yeah.
And the only problem with this is that now it's been so long since I saw season 5 and I'm like a little bit struggling to remember things. So we'll see how we go. I just want to keep watching.
Oh, all right. All right. Yeah, I know it's been a little while. Sorry, my bad. But we're doing it now. So anyway, Selena is not the person who is holding up the thing is what she's trying to say.
Not
so
this time.
No hate mail, no wait. Anyway, this, of course, is a special episode for Hype Podcast, which is a podcast from hyperbolt.com where we talk about all things entertainment. But we are going through every season of Gilmore Girls, doing a special episode about each of them. And this one is all about season 5. We are doing this spoiler-free. Pam and I have seen the whole show. Selena has never seen it before. So there will not be any spoilers for anything past season 5. And at the end, Selena will do some fun predictions and we'll laugh at her. So it's a good time all around. Although...
Yeah, except we have to silently laugh.
Predictions. Yeah, we do a kind of poker, an audio poker face of like, interesting. Right. I wonder about that.
Yes. My predictions for season 5 were like almost spot on.
On point, I have to say.
Pretty good.
Like... I think I made
I know. Well, tell us about them.
Okay. Well, see, it's because my predictions have not been the best. So I was not expecting to be right about anything. So as I was watching season 5, I was actually pretty surprised. And I had to go back and actually note down my predictions because I figured someone should. So why not me? So first of all, I said that Luke and Lorelai would break up too soon because of Christopher. Which doesn't totally count because they got back together, but I still feel like I deserve half a point for that. I said Logan was coming.
You can really have a half point.
Thanks. I said that Richard and Emily will get back together, which again is probably pretty obvious. I said that Paris would get together with Doyle, which by the way, I'm like so surprised.
You also said that Asha would die. I'm pretty sure you did.
She meant to say it and then she forgot.
I meant to say it, I didn't say it.
She texted us.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, like, I feel like the whole Paris with Doyle thing, I was so surprised because I swear to God, like, I saw a picture of them next to each other and I was like, oh, they're a couple. And then I saw the show and I was like, oh, they're not a couple. But I kept thinking of them as a couple and they got together and I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that now. But we'll get into that. I said that Jess would not come back this season. I still think he's coming back in season 6, but we will see. But I did say that Dean and Lindsay would not get divorced, which was not accurate because they did. And he stuck around.
Mm.
But now I hope he's gone.
Let's start there.
Yes.
You did very well, actually, this season. Pam and I were very impressed. let's start with Dean because, I mean, we kind of start off with, you know, it's a rocky season for the Gilmore Girls, like all up. They start off rocky, they end up rocky, but they start off rocky because of the Dean saga that we talked about. So much about last time. So we might not get so into that, but I guess the reactions to that, like what the fallout from that is. So Rory's off in Europe and then her and Dean are like trying to start this relationship because she sends that letter and like it's this whole thing. But Lorelai's reaction to kind of what's going on there, how do we feel about that? Like now that, you know, you've seen more of kind of what happened afterwards, Selena, do you feel any differently about what was happening with Rory and Dean?
I mean, yes and no. No, I don't, actually. Like, I did think it was... I loved the opener of the season. I loved how it went back and showed us a different dimension to the two of them because when you just watched it in the finale, it was like you basically assumed they went back and just finished having sex by the time Lorelai came back, which was, like, super awkward, but... Having them the quiet aftermath, they were kind of cute, kind of dorky. Like, that was it was sweet because you got a little bit of sympathy for them, but not enough for me to have any kind of different opinion. I think that Dean was a manipulative jackass. Like, I stick by that. I actually really appreciate them trying to make it work. Like, I really appreciate Rory trying to prove to herself and the world that it was not a mistake. And they, like, stay together for a while and then it slowly fizzles out. I really liked that conclusion. But, I mean, the way Dean, like, treated Lindsay, the way he, like, treated Rory, like, after he moved in, like, back home, and he was like, what am I even doing, Rory? And I was like, oh my, you are, like, he's such the worst. I know we actually have one listener who wrote in defense of him, and we're probably going to get to that in the listener feedback, and I 100% appreciate that, but I'm so glad he's gone.
Or is he?
Oh my god.
We'll never really know, will we?
Well, he's in the revival. We know that
much.
Oh
my god. Oh yeah, but that's okay. It's been a while. I'm sure he's matured. Maybe.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting about that going back scene, because in a way it's kind of, that's like the first real insight we've had in 5 seasons of their actual relationship, you mm-hmm. know, because before that it's been very like walking around holding hands, like being very cute and everything. But like, I feel like we knew more about Rory and Jess's dynamic, even in the very short time they were together, than we did about Rory and Dean for like that whole season and a half. And until that scene, like, that's kind of the first time that you sort of see what's up with them, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, what about Laura, like, basically just shipping her off to be like, well, I don't approve of this, so how about you just are in a different country? That will solve this problem. Maybe not the best tactic.
I just feel like it's the most Emily she's ever been. Like, you know, it's something that Emily would do.
I actually think that, am I misremembering? Did Lorelai send her off with Emily, or did she just kind of try to get her away from I guess he kind of did. You're right.
She was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Why don't you go? What do you have to stay here for? Like, that whole thing.
Right. Which I actually read just as her, like, either Rory could sort of own up to the thing, or she could, like, kind of leave it behind and get over it. But I actually will say, I think that Lorelai handled the thing with Rory, like, remarkably well compared to, like, what she really felt about it and what, like, I think anyone would feel about their young daughter's, like, first sort of sexual relationship being with a married guy who was, like, sort of pulling her into this weird thing. So I think that for the most part, I mean, and we will get to this a little bit later, but like, for the most of the season, I was sort of 100% on Lorelai's side in everything. So I didn't think it was particularly, like, I think Rory needed to go. I would have sent her away. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, I would have gone away. Like, as if you would say no to that, but I mean, traveling with Emily is all kinds of hilarious. I think maybe we'll circle back to sort of the events at the end of the season between them. This is probably a good time to talk about just the rest of Rory's relationship dramas. So her and Dean attempt to have a relationship. We have the hilarious bop it, like, double date, etc. scene episode, and like, Lorelai is kind of like trying to make it work, but Luke is not about it, and there's this whole thing. I mean, I guess in this season everything's kind of tied up together in a way, but we'll attempt a segment. So her and Dean try, that doesn't work. Richard and Emily throw their party, one of a series of great moves made by Emily this season, to essentially marry Rory off to someone. Logan is there. We've met Logan. That's the whole thing that's happening. Marty is around, who I'm sure you probably had never even heard of, Selena.
No.
Like a write-in candidate for the victory of Rory's heart. I mean, I don't know. He's just there. What about all of this? So you met Logan. I mean, what do you feel about Logan?
I'm like, like, holding my words. I like Logan. I feel like I'm like on the stand right now. Like, it's, you can't just throw an opinion about one of Rory's boys out without consequence. But I do. I think I when he first came in, I didn't appreciate his attitude, for lack of a better word. I didn't, like, I thought that his snobbish, like, hey, blah, 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 I thought that was stupid. I wasn't into it, but I sort of, I view a lot of this with the eyes of, like, I did the same with Jess, like, with the eyes of, I know that this character is going to go places, and I'm, like, not going to make a snap judgment about him based on first impressions, so I didn't. And I think the more we got into the season, the more I liked him. I really appreciated how he handled everything with, like, them wanting to keep it casual, and then he was like, I actually do not want to keep it casual. You will be my girlfriend now, la la la. I thought that was very sweet. And I also think, like, when we got to the end of the season, which is something I'm so excited to get to, because that turned out was an episode I had seen before, and it was all coming back to
what?
Me.
What?
I know. We'll get there.
What?
It was, oh my God. It blew my mind. But by when that all that happened, and his stupid dad, and everything, and I know that there were some, when I was watching those episodes, there were some people who were, like, on Twitter, who said, oh, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I really hate Logan because of what happened in the finale. And I, having just seen it, sort of wondered if maybe they were misremembering a little bit, because Logan didn't actually do the thing with the boat. Like, that was Rory did that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, if he's being blamed for that, I think that's really unfair. And I'm sure there's lots of reasons not to like him, but I actually think he handled everything very well. So I'm like, I'm not against Logan. Like, I'm not particularly invested in him, but I think he's fine. You know, I have no objections.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's really likable in the season.
Mm-hmm. I like him, but, you know,
I think he's, yeah.
You know, the thing about Logan is, like, there are a lot of things that are wrong with Logan, but I don't think that you necessarily see them, like, when he first comes in. Like, he's a completely flawed guy. Like, and I think I've said this before, but, like, none of Rory's boyfriends are, like, absolutely perfect for her. But I think, like, out of all of them, I understand Logan more. I understand, like, the attraction that she's got for him more, because I've, like, dated more Logans than anything else in my life. And it's like, and he's, like, charming, and he's witty, and he understands her because, like, he understands the world, like, that she, like, wants to live in. Like, you know, I don't know. I just, like, I get it. But I also, knowing what we know about him, and, like, some of the things that he does are, like, not excusable. So it's kind of hard. I think that that's why people are very, like, tainted in terms of, like, their perception of him. But as far as, like, what we've seen of him right now, like, yeah, I think that, like, I understand why she's intrigued. And I think, like you said, he kind of, you don't expect him to fall whim so easily, but he's the one that does say, you know, like, I didn't like that you were dating other people. Like, I've gotten a taste of my own medicine and I understand now. So, like, we're going to try this, even though it's scary, because I would rather be with you than lose you. And I think that that's really nice.
I appreciated that a lot. And I also appreciated that this is sort of like, this time Rory was pursuing someone else, you know, like, people, boys sort of tend to fall into her lap a little bit. And I think that in this case, she, like the fact that she was the one who liked Logan, she was the one who sort of, you know, like, she has a little bit more maybe confidence now, and she wants to pursue things, and Logan was one of them. And I think that was good. I think it was a good storyline. I was not a fan of the secret society, but okay.
Well, we'll get to that. But I think what is most interesting about Logan is, like, the way that he sort of pulls Rory back into that world that Lorelai has tried to remove them from. Like, that's what I find is most interesting about it. And obviously that has so much to do with Lorelai's concerns about him, you know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And I think, like, in a way it kind of forces Rory to sort of confront her own privilege in a way as well, because, like, we've talked about on previous episodes, yes, like, she was raised by a single mother and she was raised in a small town, and, like, they obviously didn't have a lot of money and everything, but then she went to a really good school and now she's going to a really good college, and, like, that's all being paid for. And you kind of get the sense that, like, she has, I mean, you see it in that episode with his family, right? Like, that's the first time that she's sort of been outclassed in a way, because the Gilmers have always been very high and mighty and like they've been the top, sort of looking down at everyone. And she's like, but I'm a Gilmore. Like, why would they have a problem with me? And it's really interesting to watch Rory confront that within like the, like through the lens, I guess, of their relationship and the dynamic between them. I find that like, yeah, I find that really fascinating. And Logan is like a really interesting character for a number of reasons. And I like that. I really like the paper stuff. So I like that we get more of that too, when he's around. And I mean, I, you can tell me you don't like Paris and Doyle, but like, I love Paris and Doyle. So like,
I like them. I just, you know, anyway, we'll get there.
Yeah. But I think, no, I think like, I think Logan is really interesting, and especially in this season. Like, I mean, I don't think there's anything in this season, especially to,
oh my God, you guys are making me so worried for season six. He's going to kill someone.
No, he has issues. You can tell that he's not
the perfect person.
And, you know, and a lot of it,
like, he's a bit of a playboy.
And this is really the first time he's.
Yeah. Well, this is really the first time he's doing anything like this, this whole relationship thing. So you can just kind of infer from there that it's not going to be completely picture perfect.
No, and it would be boring if it was. Yeah. I think that's like the thing that's so interesting about Gilmore Girls is that nobody is really allowed or should be perfect in any sense of the word, you know, including the main characters. They have so many flaws and you sort of have to recognize those flaws in yourself, you know? I like that.
Yeah. Joe, do you want to tell us why you don't like the secret society?
It was basically so funny because I felt like it was such a parody to the Ren Faire that like Luke was trapped at. Because it's people dressing up and playing like that, pretending they're someone else. And this is, these are all the rich, privileged people who feel better than everyone else. Whereas people at the Ren Faire at least know that they're kind of crazy, but in a fun way. So I just sort of, I don't know why, I just contrasted the two and decided that I liked the other ones better. But I thought it was I don't like stuff like that. I did like the episode where she went there, but I'm sort of glad they did kind of drop that later in the season, and I'm kind of relieved.
Yeah, I mean, I think again, like, I just really like the way that they use that as a device to sort of draw Rory in.
That's true.
Because... Yeah. Exactly like you said, that those are the people, like that is the world that she would have known those people, like she would have been friends with those people, she would have gone to school with them, etc. Like that is the world that she would have grown up in had Lorelai stayed, or had she married Christopher, or like the life that Emily wanted her to have. It was that life. And it's just so interesting that they use that as a kind of device to like, because she's so intrigued by it, and like she's so... You know, she wants to like know what's happening, and she's kind of getting involved, and then she starts participating in it, and it like, it kind of adds that. I don't know. I find that a very effective device to sort of convey the transformation that she's going through. And also, I just find that episode so fun. Like, I really, I mean, I'm not the biggest Logan fan, but I love that "You Jump, I Jump, Jack" episode. I think it's like one of the classic Gilmore Girls episodes. Yeah,
and she needs to be pushed. And I think that was a good point. Like Logan pushes Rory into some more daring directions in a way that I don't think Jess did, because in Jess's case, it was more a case of Rory was hoping for him to be nicer, you know, whereas Logan is already nice. Logan is already like sort of capable of being polite in the situations where he needs to be polite, you know? And so he's sort of more able to push Rory in, like, to be a little bit more daring, to be a little bit more fun, to be a little bit more all of those things that we saw in the beginning of the season. And I did appreciate that aspect of it.
Yeah, I feel you. Okay, and then I guess just to round out sort of the Rory section, we have the party that Richard and Emily throw, which is kind of the end of,
oh my God, her and Dean. That was hilarious.
I mean that's a horrible move, but like I just love that. It's such an Emily move.
Oh, it's both the best and the worst thing in the entire world.
Yeah,
like that whole situation, because it's so funny and it's so Richard and Emily, but it's also so ridiculous.
It is amazing.
I feel you. Well, so, I mean, do you feel like, do we get closure for her and Dean? Like, did that sort of play out the way you thought it would? Do we think that's done, or is there more to that? Or, like, where do you think they're up to now?
Well, I liked that it ended with a whimper. You know, the whole Dean, I really, like, as much as I evidently don't like Dean, I like how it plays out, like, in the show. I loved how it sort of helped unravel Rory in season four. I loved how it ended in this total, like, oh no, like, moment. And I loved how, as I said, Rory did everything she could to make it not a mistake in season five. And so, yeah, in a way, I would have liked for Rory to end it. You know, that would have been extremely satisfying, but I don't think that was the way they wanted the story to play out. I think it was kind of going in... It's in Rory's character that it ended this way. And that, you know, he sort of just, like, peaced out. And I was going to say we never saw him again, but we did, because he came in to, like, be the devil on Luke's shoulder or whatever. Like, oh my God, I hated that so much. When he was like, oh, you, like, and I are the same. And I was just so mad because I love Luke. But I think he's gone now, but I've said that every time. So I'm sure he's not gone.
You know, I kind of hated the reasoning, though. I hated his reasoning, which is basically like, yeah, you're higher class than I am. And I just...
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere, because he's known that all along.
You know? Right. And he should know Rory, like, good enough to know that, like, if it was really going to work out, like, she wouldn't have cared that, like, she's basically set up for life because of Emily and Richard. So that's the only thing I didn't like about it. I feel like it had to end, but I feel like the reasoning was ridiculous. But then again, like, maybe it fits because Dean isn't necessarily the most rational person ever, and we see that time and time again. So
yeah, I think you're right. It was just an excuse, you know.
It was, yeah, because he knew it was never gonna work. And I think that, like, at the end, what I loved about the way that this played out, because, like, it was that they both, like, realized, like, the shame in what they had done. Because, like, they were just sneaking around. They could never go anywhere. Mm. It was, like, it was a hard lesson learned. And yeah. But you're right. Rory had to at least try and see it through, because then it would have all been for nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And it kind of paralleled the first time they break up, right? When Rory, again, is, like, clutching onto this thing for dear life, hoping that she can sort of stick it out and make it work and everything will be fine, not wanting to...
Yeah.
Confront the reality that perhaps this isn't gonna, like, this isn't the thing for her, like, this isn't the guy for her. And both of those times it takes Dean, perhaps not rationally either of the ways, but, like, it takes him to be the one to be like, what are we doing? And I feel like that does fit also with what we know about Rory. So I don't want to stop Selena any longer. Do you want to talk about Luke and Lorelai? Would you perhaps have any thoughts about them?
Pam, are you with me here? Come on.
Yes. Yay. They make me so happy. You know, I feel like Suki all the time. You know, she has that line where she's like, that man has, like, sat around waiting, wondering when it'll be my turn. So it's finally, like, his turn. And I just can't, I can't help but be so happy for him, because Luke is, like, grumpy and old. Like, not old, but he's, like, grumpy and alone.
He feels
but
old.
Then Lorelai, like, brings life into it. I love it so much. Okay, I'm done.
I don't dislike it. What do you think about me?
I think that you want her to be with Christopher and be miserable and...
No, I think that her and Christopher are more interesting. And they have a more interesting dynamic. Okay. But I don't ship them. Like, they're
so
terrible
funny.
For each other.
Luke and Lorelai?
No, like Lorelai and Christopher.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah, because it's a safe choice. Like, they're safe together, but they're too alike.
I mean,
yeah, no.
Yeah. Okay, so they had their first date. Like, the best thing about this storyline, as far as I'm concerned, is, like, the way that the town reacts both to them getting together when, like, they go to that meeting and they're all like, is this okay? Like, what's this going to do to the dynamic? And then later when they break up and they have to, like, divide the town with the ribbons,
which is
so perfect. Like, that's just such the perfect response that, of course, these crazy people would have.
But I couldn't appreciate that because I was so sad.
Yeah, well, yeah, understandable. But do you want to talk about the positive stuff first? Like, they're together at the start. Yes. It's nice. It's all happening. It's finally happening.
Wonderful. It's more than I ever hoped it could be. Because, like, I've sort of maintained that all the way, that they were sort of going to have this on and off thing, like, through the whole show. So I thought that their initial kiss would happen much earlier, and then they would break up, and then they would date other people, and then they would kind of get together again. Then they were kind of like Dean and Rory, except the, like, the icky part. But I just... There's so many things about Gilmore Girls that keep surprising me, because I keep imagining that it's like a less show than it is, which isn't to say that I think it's bad. It's just that it sort of exceeds my expectations all the time. And I really love that. And I just think when the amount of like love that they allow Lorelai and Luke to experience and the audience to experience with them is sort of very heartwarming and nice. And it just affects me a lot. I don't know why. I think they are so wonderful together. I think that he's finally opening up about how he feels about Lorelai and sort of letting it all out. And it's just the most adorable thing. And you can see how comfortable Lorelai is, that this feels like the final stop for her. You can tell. And when they break up as well, the way that she reacts and how heartbroken it is, she's like, she has lost the thing that she thought was gonna be her forever thing, and it devastates her. And I think I did not expect them to get back together after that, by the way. And I was so happy that they did. And like, I know they're not gonna stay together till the end of the show. I assume so, based on, like, you know, chatter I've sort of seen about the revival and stuff. But I'm just so happy that they've been together this long. You know, like, they could even break up in the finale, like in the premiere. Oh my god! Like, the finale, you guys.
You say that every time. Every time you're like, I think they're gonna break up in the premiere.
But I'm not saying they will. But I'm saying even if they did, like, I would be satisfied with the amount of them together we've gotten.
Really?
Which is like to say, no, not that I'm like misspeaking here, but I just mean like, I feel like
it was more than you were expecting.
Like, yeah, it was more than I was expecting. And I was like sort of already mad when they got together about, I knew they were going to break up kind of thing, and we were going to have to watch them with other people. And now I'm like, I would prefer for them to stay together for as long as possible, but I feel like they've already stayed together longer than I expected. So I'm not going to be mad, you know, if they break up. I'm still going to be, like, happy about the stuff we got with them, if that makes sense.
Well, who says they're breaking up?
I'm basically bracing myself.
I mean, there was an engagement.
I don't know. I just think
there
was
a proposal.
I know. I know, but I don't think they're going to get married. Like, I don't think it's going to be that easy for them, especially with the threat of Christopher still luring in the background.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. I mean, before Emily, you know, again, we'll get to her many terrible plans in this season, but before Emily, like, decides to fix things, there's already yes. stuff with Christopher, right? Because Lorelai is already meeting with him and not telling, and, like, there's mm-hmm. this, you know, it goes on through the whole season. Like, we see basically the chain of events of, like, Lorelai sees Christopher, and then, like, feels weird about it, and then, like, doesn't tell Luke, or, like, tells Luke, and Luke's like, oh, I totally don't care about that, it's totally fine, and then is mad about it later. But Christopher is always going to be in their lives. So mm-hmm. How do they deal with that? I mean...
And what do you think about it, Pam?
Well, I think that it's... I understand why Luke is hesitant, because it kind of starts off on the wrong foot anyway, because Lorelai is almost like hiding the fact that she's still in contact with Christopher. But that just doesn't make sense to me, because it's like, you would have to have contact with your kid's dad, right? Like, he had to have known that he was kind of in and out. I think that, like, at the beginning, it's kind of Luke being a little bit overprotective, a little bit jealous of the connection that they do share, because they've never not been friends, her and Christopher, despite the fact that they, like, never really got together after Rory was born. And then later, you know, it all is justified, because Christopher decides to go after Lorelai, which then in turn leads Luke to believe that his suspicions were right all along. So it's just kind of one big mess.
Yeah. But I also think like they're both being irrational about it, because exactly like you said, it doesn't make sense to think that she wouldn't be in touch with him. So why hide it? You know, like why not tell him in the first place? Like, obviously you're not, I don't know. I mean, I get it also because they show that Luke and Lorelai are so serious so quickly. Like, this is sort of the end game for them is what the show is saying at this point. And it makes, like, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense for the character, but like, if I find it very frustrating as a viewer, maybe that's why I'm like less on board with Luke and Lorelai, because I find their relationship more difficult to watch in a way because of like these kinds of things that don't bother me so much with Rory's relationships. Maybe because I think like, you're adults, you should have your lives together.
But I think that's kind of like the thing that I sort of took away from Lorelai and Christopher. I think that the thing that's changed, it's that Christopher is single now. Like, that's the big
right
thing. Like, before, he had Sherry, he had a family, he was out of the picture. But Luke knows that this thing with Christopher for Lorelai is an ongoing thing, and Christopher is the only thing that is potentially threatening to his happiness. That's obvious. And even I would say that Luke has been very, very open and transparent about his feelings for Lorelai, and I have no doubt that she reciprocates, but she doesn't really say it as much. Like, she holds back a little bit in affection and in declaration and all of those things. And I totally understand that he feels threatened, and I totally understand that Lorelai knows that he feels threatened and therefore chose not to tell him. Maybe it's just because I think I might do the same. Like, I would make the same mistakes, because I think that in Lorelai's situation, she wants to go over there, she wants to help Christopher, but she also, like, she knows that Luke, and it's a mess all around, you guys are totally right, but I think that the logic behind it sort of made sense on both sides, and that's what, to me, made it so satisfying, actually, to watch, because none of it felt like it was manufactured for drama.
Like, I totally agree. Yeah. I think, like, for me, it's more kind of, you know, sometimes you watch things and you get, like, secondhand embarrassment, and it makes it difficult to kind of keep watching because you, like, are cringing. So I get a similar thing with this. It's not embarrassment, but it's just, like, kind of makes me grit my teeth and be like, guys, like, it doesn't have to be like this. And I don't know what it is so specifically about. And it so is, like, I'm just thinking this through, but it so is related to this triangle. I can't think of anything else on the show that makes me feel like this, but like that frustration level I only feel with relation to kind of this, what's happening with this. And I don't know what that's about, but obviously, like, Christopher is a total asshole in this. I mean, you know, he has things going on and like he's trying to connect with Rory and like, cool. But I mean, he ruins their relationship. And as someone said in here, Emily attempts to orchestrate it, but like, Christopher didn't have to go along with it. Like, he could have said, no, she's happy in a relationship. I respect that. If I love her, then of course I will, you know, let her make her own decisions and respect the decision that she has made, which is not what he does. I mean, he gets really drunk, but it's not what he does.
You know, to be honest with you, I just kind of like, I think in this particular season, I don't doubt that Christopher has like cares about Lorelai, but it's almost like he wants her because she can't have her, and his relationship with Sherry like went completely upside down, and now he just like, he needs somebody there, and like Lorelai is the easy choice. And I think that that's what I don't like about it, is that it never feels like the reason why he's pursuing her just doesn't feel genuine in this particular instance. And that really, bothers me. Yeah.
Well, see, I always feel like the show is setting, I definitely feel like as a viewer that Christopher feels like Lorelai is his forever girl, like the girl that he always thought he was going to end up with, and he's kind of never got over. And the thing with Sherry was sort of a bump in that road, but only because she got pregnant. Like, you feel like if she hadn't gotten pregnant, then perhaps that wouldn't have lasted as long. And you get the sense that his relationships don't really last, and he can't really settle down. And all of that seems to be tied back to the fact that he's constantly in this state of like waiting for her, and waiting because he just expects inevitably like they'll be back together, because of course they will. And I kind of feel like basically all of their interactions are driven by that. And that does feel consistent. And I don't think the way he goes about mm-hmm. it is at all okay. But it does feel like, at least for him, I mean, and you know, he's in love with the idea, like her 16-year-old her, right? Because that's the girl that right. he knew. But I think for him, at least, he thinks that he's in love with her, and like that, you know, they are meant to be together. And like, I feel like that's a genuine belief on his part, you know, less than him being like, you shouldn't be with someone else. I think it is him thinking that they should be together, but that's just the way that I read it.
I mean, I totally agree, but it's just one of those things where, like, you know, now he's got this kid, and if Sherry were still there, he would never do that. So, like, I don't know. I just feel mm-hmm. like there should have been a little bit more respect, like, in terms of the fact that, like,
oh, yeah.
Lorelai did not want to do that when Sherry was in the picture. He should have that same respect to her right now that she's, like, in love with this other man.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just one of those things where it just felt so sudden. Like, I get that he's always going to be in love with her, but it's, like, I don't know. It just, like, I didn't feel like it was coming from the right place aside from, like, selfishness this
maybe
time
it's
around.
Also Emily,
like, I don't doubt that he loves
him.
Her, but...
You know, yeah, maybe, like, what we're seeing is that he's not a very strong personality. Like, he's a kind of weak-willed person who can easily be led to things by someone. Like, is that like what that is saying? I don't know.
Well, I actually think it is. And I actually think that you're sort of touching on the reason that I don't like Christopher. And I genuinely do not like him, because I think he is, well, first of all, I think the personality thing is actually spot on. Like, he sort of is being led to do, he's not a very strong man, you know, he's sort of letting the women, or the women, he's sort of letting people sort of push him where to go, you know, like, he doesn't make any strong decisions on his own, he just kind of goes along with what he thinks other people want him to do. But I also think he lays claim to Lorelai and Rory and their lives without ever earning it, or without ever taking their yeah. feelings into account. And this is something that I sort of feel, and have felt since the beginning, you know, we've talked about this before, but just like, he, you know, wanted to marry Lorelai, and then she didn't want to marry him. And then he went across the country, but he still comes back and is like, Rory, I am your father. I'm telling you this. Like, sort of, he had that moment when I was like so infuriated, because I was like, but are you really? Because you're not here. Like, you're only her father like two times a year when you see her. And sort of having that, he, in his head, he is her father all the time, but he's just never around. And I think it's kind of the same with Lorelai. Like, he, in his head, they are soulmates, and he doesn't like stop to consider the reality or what Lorelai is thinking and what she actually wants, et cetera, you know? And I think
yeah,
that's
I agree
a very
with that.
Interesting character to have on a show like that, because they definitely exist in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to be super
that.
Clear. Like, I don't especially like him, and I definitely don't ship mm-hmm. them, but I find them very interesting. And I find yeah. him like fascinating in a way that I don't find Luke and Lorelai, which is not to say I don't think they should be together, or like, I don't think, you know, that's whatever. I just, the dynamic is not as engaging for me as it is between Lorelai and Christopher, because so much more happening there.
Mm-hmm. And I would actually sort of agree with that, because Luke and Lorelai is the most uncomplicated relationship on the show, you know, despite them having sort of been leading their will there, won't there. It's always been very safe. Like, it's always been, of course they will eventually, like, they're just
right.
kind of being
and once
stupid
they're together,
about it to prolong.
They're together.
And once they're together,
it's serious.
They are their, they, yeah, they are their person, and only an external thing can break them up, like the Emily Christopher thing this season. And even then
right.
they gravitated back together. And if even if my theory holds true that they're going to break up, I'm sure it's going to be like some external thing again, because that's they are 100% ready for each other, and there's no character complication that is going to mess with that. And I think that's interesting because I love that. I think that the show sort of needs an anchor like that, and it sort of makes me calm when I watch it. It fills me with a little bit of calm, and I'm like, at least this is a thing that I can get behind completely and that I can sort of be happy about uncomplicatedly amidst all of these super complicated people and relationships that are never quite what you want them to be, but very, very interesting. And I think it's totally legit to be like, well, actually, that's the least interesting. But for me, I need it to not be interesting.
Yeah.
So that makes actually sense. Really interesting.
It's so interesting. No, and I think that's a very apt analysis, because the conflict between Lorelai and Christopher is internal. Like, it comes from their personalities. And like, any conflict between them is about the two of them, like, going at it. It's not about mm-hmm. other things. And so maybe that's why I find that, I don't know. But okay, so we skipped around a little bit, but let's talk about the proposal. So, I mean,
oh my God,
that was not a thing that you saw coming.
Not at all.
Did you die a little inside?
Oh my God, you guys, I'm now a ghost. Like, it's amazing. It's like, when he was like ranting at her and stuff, and it's the camera stayed on her face, I was actually like thinking, oh, that's a very interesting like decision for the show to keep the camera on her face when he's the one doing all the acting. And she had that look on her face. And I was like, oh, wow, Lauren Graham is so good at emoting. And I had like all of these like random thoughts. And then you saw her get to that thing and she asked her to marry her. And I was like, oh my God. And I realized that, like, obviously that was why, because you had to see her come to that conclusion in her mind. And I thought everything about that scene was wonderful and beautiful. And I know I'm a little bit incoherent in this discussion today because I'm just so happy about this, which is probably not what the listeners want to hear. So I'll let someone else say something more articulate, but I was so happy. I definitely squealed and clapped and all those
different
things.
It's cute.
Well, thank you for making time to talk to us from the afterlife.
Right.
I appreciate it. I mean, I guess, like, Pam, you said in here that there's been debate over this.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people, like, I can't remember if it's necessarily our listeners or just, like, online chatter, but I noticed a lot of people, like, wondering if it was coming from a good place, the idea of this proposal. Uh-huh. Like, is Lorelai just doing this because she wants to be happy in a moment where she's really upset, or is she being like genuine about it? And I have always seen it as genuine. I've always seen it as like, here is like the whole world is against her, and here is this man who is not her daughter's father, but cares enough about her daughter to do everything in his power to make sure that she's being set up for the best life possible, has watched her daughter grow up, has been this father figure her whole life without anything, so like without needing to be. And all of a sudden it just clicks that, like, of course, like, he's been right here the whole time. Like, this is my end game. And yeah. But I do think it's interesting that people see it the other way around. So that's why I put it in here, because I thought it would be interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
I actually saw it as both. And I think it's for all the reasons that you said, Pam, because when I was watching it, and that was actually, like, in all my happiness, I totally forgot that is actually also one of the things that I'm sort of a little bit worried about with Luke and Lorelai's future, is that I think her it definitely came as a result of, like you said, the whole world was against her and she needed something happy. And I will say, like, I this is like not really, this was not on purpose, but I accidentally started watching season 5 because I thought it was it was so stupid. I was so happy that I was like running around and like tweeting and being all excited. And I didn't notice that the episode ended. So I thought it was just a commercial break. So I kept watching. And then I was like, at one point, I was like, this is a long episode. And I checked and it had gone into season 6 and I felt terrible. So I stopped
it immediately,
spoiled
yourself.
Obviously. But I did. But so, you know, you already sort of get the sense that Lorelai wants to block out all of the sadness and just focus on the one thing that could make her happy. And I could definitely understand why some people are like, oh, well, her feelings about this are not genuine. But I think they still are. Like Pam said, I think that her wanting Luke as like I said, like the stable thing in her life. She loves him. She this is her end game. The way he feels about Rory, which is once again one of my absolute favorite things in the world. Like everything that he sort of did for Rory and with Rory, also around the wedding, was just wonderful. And I think she sort of she comes to that conclusion as a result of all those things. But I absolutely think that the reason she asked then and now is because she wants to, a little bit because she wants to distract herself. But I think that's the beauty of Gilmore Girls, is that people can do things for more than one reason. Like, you don't have to classify it as, like, I feel like in a lot of shows, like, people's actions are very transparent. Like, they do this because of this one thing in their backstory. And from that, you can discern, oh, well, it's not going to end well, because it came from a bad place. But I think in this case, like, it came from a lot of different places, and some of them bad, but most of them good. Does that make any sense? Yeah,
no, that does make sense. And I think, like, she's, I would agree, a real
formed person.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I see it as a spur of the moment decision, but I like, what I like about it is that it, like what both of you said, it comes from the place of not his relationship with, not Luke's relationship with her, but Luke's relationship with Rory. Because even if they weren't together, like, if she went to him and said, this is what's happened, I have this problem, you can imagine he would have, like, the same response. What can I do? How can I help this? And you, as you watch her face in that scene, you kind of see her realizing that too. And I think that's really crucial, especially because of this whole season dealing with, like, Christopher's absence, essentially. You know, and his lack of being a father to his daughter. And then, like you said, just swooping in and being like, I'm here now. Like, we have a relationship. And Rory being like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, like, and picking up where he left off. Yeah.
Right. And in a way, like, she doesn't need that because she's always had that from Luke. And, you know, it's really complicated, but it's really, I don't know. I think it's, like, it's important that I can understand why people would read it as being, like, kind of coming from the wrong place, but I think it's really important that that step in their relationship comes from his relationship with Rory rather than just, like, the two of them kind of having their own world. So anyway, we'll see what goes on with that. So this is probably a good time for you to tell us how you spoiled yourself and watched the episode before you watched Gilmore Girls or whatever, because we probably need to talk about the boat. So,
oh my god, the boat. Well, see, I'm pretty sure I said this on our very first episode of Gilmore Girls. I said the only thing I know about Gilmore Girls is there's something about a boat, and I said I thought she got kicked out of school, which was obviously misremembering, because there was, like, at one point in my life, and that's the only time that I've ever engaged with Gilmore Girls, is I sat down, I was bored, I turned on the TV, and there was, like, some scene in some fancy living room, and women were talking about something, and I thought it was a soap opera. Because that's, like, the, when you just go in and it's, like, Emily and Richard's apartment and all of that drama is going on.
It is a soap
and
opera.
For it, like, it is a soap opera, and I think when you're, like, however old I was, like, 13, 14, and, you know, my English wasn't that great, so I could just listen to the subtitles that were speeding by at a rapid pace and, like, try to keep up. And you don't get the sense of lyrical sort of mastermindingness that's going on in the show. You only get the translated dialogue. Like, it loses a little bit of its brilliance. I really do think so. Like, a lot of Gilmore Girls' brilliance is in the dialogue that you miss. So I was like, this is boring as hell. Like, and I only kept it on because there was nothing else on television. And through all those years, I've held on to that one imprint of a scene in a living room when they're talking about, and there was something about the boat. I do think I saw the scene on the docks as well. So maybe it was two episodes, or maybe it was, like, a previously on, but, like, those are the two imprinted memories I had of Gilmore Girls. So I knew at one point Rory stole a boat, and that's all I knew.
Okay, so I'll ask you in a second to tell us, like, what you thought about now you've watched it again, but let me quickly tell you a parallel story, which is I had this exact same thing with The West Wing before I watched The West Wing, which is now, like, my favorite TV show. I saw I won't give it away, but there is an episode in season 6 where a character has a heart attack, And I saw that scene. I saw that episode. I'd never seen the show before. And then I went back and watched it and kind of vaguely remembered that that happened, but I didn't know what season it was in, the seven seasons of the show. Watched the entire show waiting for that scene to happen, like being like, oh, this. And I also didn't, I didn't see the next episode after that. So it's unclear, like, what if that character lives or dies. And I thought it went one way and it went the other way. So, like, I also had this total just misconception. And so I watched the entire time I was watching, I kept being like, oh, well, but I know that this is going to happen. And then it just, it was crazy. It's so weird when that happens. It was, again, wow, I just, like, turned the TV on and, like, that was just the moment. But it's weird when it's, like, a defining moment, because you could have turned on an episode of Gilmore Girls and it could have been, like, you know, the Living Art Festival or whatever. And instead you saw, like, the whole breakdown of the relationship. So, yeah. I mean, so now you've watched it again. What do you think?
As I watched it again, I realized that I remembered a lot more than I thought I did. A lot of things came back to me as I was watching it. And you know how, like, I sort of always had, like, a little bit of a bad feeling about Emily and Richard's relationship with Lorelai. I think it came from having watched this episode.
Oh, yeah. Because this is sort of,
this is like the high point, at least so far, of Richard and Emily's betrayal of Lorelai. Like, this is what, like, five seasons have been building towards, this complicated, tense relationship where at the end of the day, at least in this moment, like, you get the sense that, and obviously there's so much more to it that you see in the show, but just in this moment, you get the sense that Richard and Emily never, like, if they could sort of, and again, this is not what I think, but this is just what I thought based on this one scene, if they could erase Lorelai, if they could make Lorelai go away and just have Rory as their quote-unquote real daughter, like the way they wanted Lorelai to turn out, then that's what they would do. And again, that's not what I think now, but that's the sense I got.
No,
then,
but I kind of think
with me.
I kind of think that is true now. I mean, it's like they're kind of stealing her.
Yeah,
right?
They are,
like,
absolutely.
They're kind
and
of,
it's so...
Yeah.
Right. And I remember, like, that's one of the reasons I didn't watch it, because I got so angry on Lorelai's behalf, even never having seen it before. I got so frustrated. I got so, like, I felt so unfairly treated on her behalf, and all of those emotions came back to me. And, like, because I kind of knew it was coming, I wasn't, like, shocked. But I was still so angry, and I, like, am still very, very angry right now.
Well,
I think
so all
it sort
of this,
culminated in a really interesting place.
Yeah, and all of this comes from the internship. So Rory has the dinner with the Huntsbergers. They're very rude to her. Mitchum gives her the internship. You know, she's going and loving it and thinks that it's great, and then essentially he tells her, like, you don't have it. You can't do this.
I love
this
that,
thing.
By the way.
Yeah, what did
I
you
love
I mean tell us
she,
about it?
Well, as a journalist, and I think sort of Pam maybe can identify, we can all identify with this, is that you have this dream of things you want to do. You've been told all your life that you're really good at it, and you go out into the real world and you fail. And the test is how you handle that failure. Like, at the end of the day in real life, it's not whether you can succeed or fail the first time you try something. It's whether you
it's
keep
how
trying.
You respond.
That's how you measure success. Exactly. And I think it's so telling. And again, I've sort of, on the previous episode, I think I compared myself to, or I identified with Rory a lot. And this just helps me identify more, because I think I would react exactly the same way. Like, obviously, whatever Mitchum Huntsberger happens to say about her performance as an intern has no bearing on whether she's a good journalist or not. But her response does. And the fact that she gives up so quickly, it was very sad. It was very sad to watch how she handled that. But I also felt like, again, I'm not sure I would have handled it much better. And I think it's sort of a way to stall your dreams in real life. And I appreciate them taking Rory through that.
I totally agree. And I think this is one of those moments in Gilmore Girls that, like, it was really, I remember it being sad the first time I watched it, relate to it so much more now, because, like, Selena said, you know, like, we are journalists. Like, that's, this is, like, journalism is what I studied for. It's what I do full time outside of this show, too. And I have been in a similar situation as Rory, where I literally went, like, my whole college, whatever, always got the internships I wanted, always got the opportunities I wanted. You know, you have all this stuff that's all falling into the right place. And you don't realize how fortunate you are until you get to a point where something doesn't come as easy. And that happened to me a couple years ago. I literally, like, I had an internship, did not turn end the way I wanted it to. And I spent a week crying. I'm not even going to lie. And it was really hard because, like, I was literally heartbroken because I thought my dreams had been shattered. And it's actually, like, it makes me really emotional to think about it, which is why my voice is cracking. But the thing is that if you never pick yourself back up, you're never going to get to the next step. And it's a really hard lesson to learn, but I think that it's really important that it was, like, showcased.
Agreed. Yeah. Exactly. And I think it ties into, like, what we saw with her last season as well, where she was struggling a little bit at school. And we got the sense that, you know, maybe she doesn't deal with, like, she's never dealt with failure. Maybe she can't really deal with it. And then, like you said, this is the first time that something hasn't just worked out the way that she's planned it. And her reaction to that is, I mean, you know, obviously it's completely understandable for her to, yeah, be heartbroken over it. It's not understandable for her to drop out of college. And
no,
I think that's exactly what you're saying, Selena.
A little bit, like, over the top.
Like, the way that she reacts to that, it's really interesting watching this season back because I watched the whole season just with this view of being like, this whole season is this insight into, like, Rory's privilege in a way, and I feel like it ties up with Logan and with what's happening with Emily and Richard, and, like, I don't know, maybe it's just kind of the time of life that I'm in now watching it, but I can't not see that this is also part of that, like, part of being like, well, maybe you're a Gilmore and, like, maybe you have all these things and then things still aren't going to work out for you every time, and what are you going to do about that? And, like, her response is to basically go and kind of hide from her mother, who is the person who will tell her, you know, tell her what it is, and instead go to her grandparents who, I mean, I think you're right at the start, Selena. Like, they are kind of stealing her away, and it's like their do-over. It's their chance to have the kind of daughter or have a granddaughter that they wanted in the first place, like to have her live that life out the way that they had planned, because their plan didn't work out, and, like, it's their second chance, and the whole thing is so heartbreaking and so complicated, and, like, oh, I don't know, it's just, I mean, and also, as you said at the start, like, it, and it's not really Logan's fault, so.
No, not at all. It's like, Logan is the least culpable in this entire situation.
Right, which I think he gets a slightly unfair rap from fans for this particular thing. I don't think you can blame this on him.
But I do think it's and I will say, like, in the way I was trying to sort of be careful what I said, because I know that the Emily and Lorelai relationship in particular is very complicated, and there's a lot more to it than just this one thing. And there's a lot more to Emily than just this one thing. Like, I don't think necessarily that she is a, like, it would be an insult to the show to say she's a quote unquote villain, because she's in no way a villain. She's not even an antagonist to Lorelai, but I do think she did some things this season, like both the Christopher thing and now the Rory thing, that just shows at the end of the day, like, you know, there are things to her that are more important than her daughter's actual well-being. Well, not really, but she thinks she knows better in a sense. And I think that's sort of what I'm always going to be sort of team Lorelai in this thing, because, like, Emily comes in with some preconceived, kind of like Christopher a little bit, but different, and with some preconceived ideas about what is best and what is the right way to be. And she's sort of very closing herself off from alternate, like, ways of being, or of being okay, and the way she's sort of dismissing of Luke and all those things. And I think when it came to the end of the season, like, absolutely what you said in that moment it's very clear that some part of Emily and Richard, they don't, like, they think Lorelai is a lost cause. Like, there are people who write their children or their family members off as, like, the embarrassing, like, black sheep of the family. And I feel like they're, like, on the edge of doing that because they have Rory, who fits so much better with what they wanted Lorelai to be, and they can't accept Lorelai for what she has become. And I think it's just all very, very heartbreaking because it's not like they don't love Lorelai. It's not like they don't want her. Her entire being is just at conflict with them and what they think a proper person should be. And they can't handle that their daughter is not like she, you know, is not like that. And it's all just, oh my gosh.
You know, the thing that upsets me like the most is like, but because they're like so hellbent on doing that, they're like not, I just would have expected them to push Rory to stay in school. Like,
oh yeah.
I just like, and that's the thing that bothers me because I'm sorry, but she's like, at this point that this is happening, she's so young. She's like, what is she, like a year into Yale? That's fine. You think that you can't do journalism anymore? That's cool. But guess what? There's still general requirements you need to do. You can't tell me you did all those in 1 year. You get your butt back to school. You figure it out. And I think that that's the problem that I have with this is that she first of all, she fails so quickly. And then second of all, like her grandparents who have always pushed her to strive for more are suddenly saying like, oh, it's okay. Like you can just sit that, here all day long. Yeah.
Yeah. But also they obviously don't trust Lorelai's judgment. Like when she says, this is a really big deal. Right. This is what she's going to do. She needs to go back to school. They're like, oh, it's just, she'll be fine. It's a phase, you know, we'll have her for a while, like, and she'll go right back. And I think, I mean, you know, this is season 5, you know, there's 7 seasons, you know, there's a revival. You watch this season, particularly with Emily, but like, with both of them at the end of it, and you can't help but think, like, how are they going to speak to each other again in the next 2 seasons? Mm-hmm. Like, how could this relationship possibly come back from this point? Because, like you said, it's kind of been building to this, and you just think, like, the betrayal is so deep because it's not...
Yeah.
I mean, it's, like, she's messed with, like, Lorelai's relationships, and, like, Emily's messed with kind of every aspect of her life, but now they're messing with Rory... And now they're like, you know, going against her. This one thing that Lorelai is like, so, I mean, and it's like it's the inverse of what happens with Luke. It's, you know, Rory is the most important person to her. And Luke is the person who stands by her and says like, I'll help you out with this. And Richard and Emily are the ones who say, we know better and we'll risk Rory's well-being in order to prove that. And you just think like, how are they ever going to see each other ever again? Like, it's just, how could you possibly... come back from that. I mean, it just, it seems unfathomable at this point.
And they're just sort of straight up, like all the season they show a lot of the time, they are dismissing Lorelai's sort of agency and personhood in a way by sort of, like you said, like taking away or trying to dismiss her choices in terms of Luke and in terms of Rory, like her judgment in terms of Luke, because Emily is so dismissive of what he is and who he is. And then when it comes to her being a parent for Rory, you know, and I think in a lot of ways, like it makes you really understand why Lorelai left the way she did, because she saw this coming. Like she saw if she had stayed, Rory would have been Emily and Richard's daughter. She would not have been Lorelai's daughter. Lorelai would not have been allowed to make these kind of decisions. She would have been dismissed in the way that she was dismissed in the episode when Logan came to dinner. And the way Emily treated her in that episode was just appalling and a little bit taste, I think, of what her life could have been like if she had stayed. And now you see it with the way that it feels like, and I know it probably isn't, but it feels like it's all been a long con by Emily and Richard to finally get Rory back, or like to get Rory away from Lorelai and sort of finally dismiss her agency as a parent and as an adult human. And it's all very, very infuriating, but in a good way, because it's a good story. But oh my God, Like, I don't know how they're going to come back from that. And I know that so many people, like, love Emily, and, like, you included. And I'm just like, why? Like, right at this moment in time.
Well, not currently. I mean, to be clear. Okay.
Like, so, all of this is awful.
Yeah. So we are, I think this might be a slightly longer episode, but there's a lot to talk about. But
yeah, season five is, like, the best so far, I think. I really loved it. Oh, well, I like season four, too.
You really like season four. You keep saying they're the best, but yeah. I guess you haven't seen the other one, yeah. So that's fair. You're allowed to change your mind. Okay, so season seven is the best. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Very popular amongst fans. Mm-hmm. So what else is going on against this backdrop of what I'm calling Richard and Emily's terrible, horrible, bad decisions? Yeah, so they're breaking up and then they're back together. That's what's happening with them. Lane and Zach are a couple.
Oh my god!
did you see that coming?
No, not at all. And how do you feel about it? I see it coming. Well, and I'm curious what you guys feel about it too. He's not, but he is though, because that's clearly like what he is. He's like a replacement Dave, but like a reject Dave, if you will. What is so funny to me about this relationship is that, like, when it first started happening, I thought they were going a completely different way with it, and I actually thought they were until. Like, while they were still sort of getting together, I was like, okay, but what is happening right now is that, like, she has... Because I do the same thing all the time. Like, you convince yourself you have a crush on someone just because they're around and because you see them with other people. And then you, like, you get closer to them and you're, like, sort of pursuing your crush and you're like, actually, you know what? It was all, like, you look better, like, over there. I'll be over here. You know, that kind of situation. I was sure that's what they were doing with it.
Better from afar.
Yeah, because I like obviously this relationship has been in no way built up. Like, it came out of nowhere. There's no real chemistry between the two of. Well, there is now, but there wasn't before. And I don't know what went into this decision, but I'm sure it was because, you know, they realized that Seth. What is his name? Seth.
Adam Brody.
No, Adam Brody. Seth Cohen is the character on OC.
they realized the OC was sticking around, and they were like, "Oh crap, what are we gonna do?" And they had this sort of vague plan for Lane that they just kind of were like, "Well, we have to find someone else to take his place," and they gave the thing to Zach. But I'm actually like, I'm definitely not against it. Like, I get the sense this is like. People have really mixed opinions in the fan base, but I actually think it's adorable. Like, I actually really like I really like Zach, first of all. I don't see the relationship like making sense, except the story needs it to make sense. But I almost don't really care because I think it's really cute. I have a lot of conflicting feelings about this particular storyline, but I think in general, I'm on board.
The most exciting thing that happens with Lane's storyline in this is Mrs. Kim essentially becoming their band manager I'm organizing a tour for you.
That is the best season.
Like, that's the best scene in this season. And when she's going out to inspect the van with Gil and it's this whole thing, it's amazing.
You know, this is why we need a Mrs. Kim-centric episode because, like,
for real.
She knows how to fix a damn car.
I know.
She's like, have you checked your spark plugs?
Like, every season that we watch, I'm just like, Mrs. Kim, most underrated character. 100% most underrated character.
Yeah, I finally understand why you guys like her now. Like, I understand everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's amazing.
All right. And and speaking of underrated, I mean, also Suki and Jackson. Suki's pregnant? Norman Mailer?
No, wait. We moved on too fast. I want to hear what you guys think of Lane and Zach, because how did you think when this first came about when you watched it? Because I was like, it was such a weird thing for me when it first happened.
I honestly can't remember how I first felt, but I like them. I think they're really sweet. And I like, I really like the dynamic of the band. So I guess I kind of see this as an extension of that in a way.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
It's annoying that, in a way, it's annoying that, like, for Lane to get more screen time, she has to be in a romantic relationship. But I like that she gets more screen time. So I think Zach's a kind of, he's kind of dopey, but he's well-meaning and he's sweet. And I agree that they're kind of thrown together by the plot, but then it sort of works and I'm on board with it.
It does kind of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Pam?
Yeah, I think that it's like, you guys, I think it's really sweet. And it's so funny because like he comes off at the beginning, like he's in the band for the girls, like for the groupies and stuff, as much as he is for the music. So I think it's really cute when he, you know, kind of tells Lane, he's like, oh, I need to take it slow. It takes me a while to like work up the nerve. You know, it's like that. And then she's like, oh, do you want to talk? He's like, no, not right now. It's like too much. It's really sweet because you don't expect it. So I kind of like it.
I have like a vague sense that, and this is one of those things where, you know, you sometimes feel when you watch a show for the first time, like you've obviously been exposed to things from the show before. I have a vague sense that I know where the story is going because I've seen a picture, but I'm not sure if it's something that I've imagined or if it's actually like I have
a very clear
image of the two of them. Well, I don't want to say because like indicates it's okay. Well, no, I was just gonna.
Well, no, it's
if it's I'm prediction. Actually like, spoiling fellow newbies. Okay. Well, I think that they're gonna get married because I think that I've seen a picture of them getting married, but it also just could be something that I'm totally imagining. So I don't want to like, you know, say either way. But if it does happen, then I've been spoiled about it, and if it doesn't, then I made up a spoiler.
You've been dreaming about it.
Yeah, before I even knew who they were.
Yeah, maybe.
It's always been them.
Well, we'll wait and see. We'll add it to your list of predictions. Okay, now do you want to talk about Suki?
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
I mean, do you want to talk about Suki? Like, I feel like we always miss her.
Not really.
And she's always at the end. She's fun. I don't know. She's excited about Luke and Lorelai. Like, that's kind of what else is happening with her.
I'm not into the Suki and Jackson thing, and I feel bad because I said that last season, but it's actually one of my like least favorite parts of the show right now. Not because I don't like Suki. I like Suki, and I like the attention the season gave to her relationship with Lorelai. But I think she's underused. I think it's also just because it's Melissa McCarthy, and I feel like she can do so much more than the show has her do.
Yeah,
and
I know, this like, was that's pre okay. her being a superstar, though.
Yeah. But I didn't like Jackson's like running for town Seligman storyline, although I did like how sweet Lorelai was to Taylor in the process.
Yeah.
But I didn't like that. I didn't like their second baby pregnancy, and I did not like the way in the hospital when she was like, you're gonna go like whatever she said, like cut the thing, like whatever they do. I didn't like that. I thought that was like really sort of invasive. And I get that he could have not gone along with it, but the way she was also just like, I'm going to like get someone in here to like force you to do it or something. That made me really uncomfortable. And I get it was just like played for laughs, but I was like, oh no, I'm not laughing.
Oh, interesting.
That was like my one sort of thing.
I wonder what people should let us know. I mean, we don't talk about Suki that much, but she is like a fan favorite character on Gilmore Girls. So I wonder if there's anyone who's watching for the first time, if they share your thoughts or like what people think about their relationship. Cause yeah, I would be curious to know. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't really think about it as much when I'm watching it and I feel bad, but that's because I'm all about Mrs. Kim all the time. Like I can only have one side character to invest in.
Yeah.
So, okay. Should we jump into our favorite episodes? Was there anything else you guys wanted to say about the season?
Yeah.
All right, Selena, what have you picked?
I'll save the last one because I know Pam has it as well, but I picked Written in the Stars as one, which is obviously the one where Lorelai and Luke go on their first dates and Luke, you know, talks about how they met and shows her the horoscope. And I just think it's such a wonderful extension because we know that he hasn't been like creepily pining for her all of this time. Like we know that he's been living his own life and they've had this like flirtatious air, but he hasn't been like obsessed in that sense like you normally would see characters be on TV shows. So I think it's like okay that he kept this, like it's not a creepy thing, it's a cute thing is what I'm trying to say. And the way that like they sort of, you know, they spend the night together and she wakes up and everyone's in the coffee house and the town meeting and stuff, I think that all of that is really wonderful. And I think I sent to you, like, you guys a text message at one point saying, like, I really wish that Luke and Lorelai made out more. Because, you know, it's part of them being together. I felt like they got too comfortable too quickly. And I felt like we missed out on the stage of them first getting together. But I actually, like, retract that text because I think they've made out plenty. Like, I'm not dissatisfied with, like, they didn't get boring once they got together. but I think that's sort of an extension of that. Like, when couples get together on TV shows, like, there's that fear of them getting boring and getting, like, just acting, either just being all coupley and having separate storylines or just acting like normal. And you don't even remember they're dating. But I think Luke and Lorelai, actually, I'm really impressed with how they handled this relationship. And they found a really good balance. So I loved that episode. And I also loved, we got us a Pippi virgin. Because, first of all, Pippi Longstocking is very important to me, being Scandinavian. And I didn't know that they dubbed it in English, which is, I should have known. But I didn't realize. They dubbed it in Danish. And I loved how, again, one of the things I loved, aside from the Pippi thing, was how protective Luke was of Rory in this episode with regards to Dean, and how intent Lorelai was on making it work, which I also think says a lot about Lorelai. Like, for all her being disappointed in Rory and being worried about Rory's future and being worried about Rory making decisions that she, you know, will lead her down a dark path, I think that Lorelai really wants the best, you know, for her daughter and for everyone. And she's like, I really enjoyed the dynamic between Lorelai and Luke, and kind of they clashed, but they still figured it out. And all of that was really wonderful.
And you also have Say Something, and I have Say Something. Why did you like it?
And Pam has Say Something. Oh, no, you have it. I thought Pam had it. Wait, let me refresh my mind on what that episode even was.
The breakup, post-breakup.
Oh, yeah, of course. I was like, well, I'm not sure I like it. I loved the breakup episode. I thought it was wonderfully handled. You really saw the devastation for both of them. I think the way that Lorelai handled her feelings, again, I think that Lorelai, you know, people are sort of very quick to dismiss her as like a childish character, but I actually think that she's in most ways extremely mature about her feelings and about how she handles people and how she confronts people about how she feels. And I think this was like just a great example of that, sort of the fallout of that devastation, especially knowing that they get back together. I can sort of appreciate it a little bit more, and I really felt for her in this whole situation.
Yeah, I love this episode. I think I love it because it shows a relationship between Rory and Lorelai, the relationship between Lorelai and Luke, and the relationship, the like kind of beginning of the relationship between Rory and Logan. Like, I think it's just a really nice kind of character mm-hmm. piece because it's so focused.
Yeah.
I also love the ribbons thing. Like, that's just hilarious to me. So that's like very necessary. But I think especially what I like about this is that we see, yeah, like this is a different relationship for her. She has had other breakups and she has never reacted like this to the breakdown mm-hmm. of her previous relationships. And I also like that we start to see, I guess, that because it's so serious and it's so like he is her person now, exactly how you described it earlier, Rory can't quite mm-hmm. understand that. Because she's like, okay, I've put all the cereal close to you and like I've done all these things and you'll be fine now. I have to go back and like you'll be great, right? And she's like, yeah, I'll be fine. And then just kind of goes right back into like where she was before. And I think that's really important to show that that distinction between mm-hmm. their outlooks. So that's why I liked it. I also have You Jump, I Jump Jack, which I said earlier is really fun, but I'll let Pam talk more about that. But the other one I picked was Wedding Bell Blues, where everything goes to hell. But I think it's really like the quintessential Gilmore Girls episode. And you would hope so, because this was the 100th episode. So it was kind of a special episode.
Oh, wow.
And it was directed by Amy Sherman-Palladino, as well as being written by her. So I don't know if she directed any others, but she definitely directed this one. And I just think you feel mm-hmm. it even in like everything that's happening.
I think she directs like pilots, like, or premieres and finale, at least in this.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is like her, she was like, I'm doing this one. Fair enough.
Right.
And, and I think you feel it, like the pacing is a little stepped up from the rest of the season, and just so much is packed into it. And again, you get like that sort of, little, like the episode at the event, like the event being their vow renewal. And I also really like you get, I mean, you know, we haven't talked about it, but obviously Richard and Emily have they're getting back together in this season after the breakdown of their relationship. And like you get in that episode why they're together, like you get the love between them really strongly. And I think that's important for you to kind of understand maybe why they do things that they do. But, you know, regardless of not being very happy with the outcomes of that episode, I think like objectively it's one of the best episodes of the series by far. So yeah, I have to give that one a shout out. And Pam, what have you picked?
So like you, I picked You Jump, I Jump Jack, which is of course the Life and Death Brigade episode. I just think that it's just so whimsical and it's so fun. I've always really liked this episode. And like you said, at the show, I think it just kind of shows, the moment where Logan kind of starts pushing Rory to open her horizons and just like expand what she's comfortable doing. And that's really nice to see, because she does, like, for as smart as she is, she does so often like box herself into this one, like, oh no, I couldn't possibly do that, you know, type of box. And so then to see her kind of do something that's completely out of the ordinary is really lovely. And then I also picked To Live and Let Diorama. There's a lot going on in this episode. I like it because it's really sweet to see that Luke is like planning ahead as far as his and Lorelai's relationship. There's that whole storyline where he's like being really nice to Taylor and he doesn't understand why.
Oh yeah.
and then like the museum, like the actual museum, is like so hilarious because everything is like, this is a document that might have belonged to like the second cousin twice removed to George Washington. Yeah. It's just so great. I also really love that like Paris goes crazy and she starts panhandling on the streets of Stars Hollow, and it's just, oh my gosh, it's so good. And
oh, and wait, and Lane thinks that Zach is cheating and like has he's in a bluegrass band.
yeah it's so good.
That episode was actually directed by Jackson Douglas, funnily enough.
Oh,
I don't
really
know if it's the first one he directed, but yeah.
That's cool.
That's kind
of
interesting.
I did not know that, yeah.
I actually, you know, with Paris, like, it's funny because, like, I don't like what they're doing with Paris, like, at the moment in the show. Like, she's in baggy clothes and she's kind of, like, all over the place and she's kind of lost her, like, not superiority, but you know how, like, in the old school, like, she was the best. You know, we saw her a lot in the academic situations, but I feel like now her academic aspect of her is completely gone, and all that Paris has of storylines are romance and occasionally like a newspaper adjacent story. And I'm really disappointed with that. Like, I hope we sort of get back to seeing her sort of, like, not that I don't like the thing with Doyle, because I do, but I hope that there's more to her still to come. If that makes sense.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, no, that's totally makes sense. Okay, and let's do our favorite characters. Pam, I'll put you on the spot because it'll be a surprise because you haven't written one down. So who are you going with?
I haven't because I've been thinking about who I want to go with. And I think just because we kind of finally get to meet him, I'll go with Logan because he's not as bad as everybody seems to think.
I was also going to go with Logan. Pam.
Huh? You were going to go with Logan?
Damn it. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. I did it for the both of us.
Yeah, I like Logan in this season. I think he's interesting and he's fun and he's new
and he's
all
different.
Of those reasons. Yeah.
I'm into
it. And I think he challenges Rory in like important and interesting ways that I find engaging to watch. And and you definitely start to see that in the season. And Selena, I mean, I feel like she's always your favorite character, but again,
did I pick her last season as well?
I think you've picked her.
I think I might
almost
have
every
done.
Season.
I feel like I should make a change then. I picked Lorelai. Because I, again, more than any, I also feel like maybe I'm a little bit spurred on to pick Lorelai because I know that there are people, including some of our listeners, that don't like Lorelai. And I sort of almost take personal issue with it because I over-identify with Lorelai in a lot of situations. And I just think, to be honest, like the way everything that was thrown at her this season, I think she handled so admirably. I think we got countless examples this season, not countless, I could probably count them, that's not the point, of her being genuinely a good person, which is one of the things that we talked about last episode, because we got a comment saying that Lorelai is not a good person. We got the examples of her sort of helping Taylor, who has been rude to her for like so long. She still helped him. She still tried to make sure that he wasn't humiliated in that, in the election. And the way that she tries to handle things with Dean, and the way, and even Logan, even though I do think her treatment of Logan is unfair, but I understand where it's coming from, the way she tries to confront her mother time and time again, like it's always her reaching out and trying to compromise, and Emily just refuses to give even an inch, you know? And I think the way that Lorelai deals with all of that is really great and really makes me sympathize with her and make me understand where she's coming from, even when she says and does things that are like unfortunate, because as I said, like every single character on this show is imperfect, and Lorelai included. And I that just kind of makes me love her more. So Lorelai, 100%, Luke, of course, always Luke. And I mean, Logan is
fine. Stop naming all the characters.
Me that much? Yeah, no, I'm gonna name every single one except Suki. No, I'm kidding.
except Jackson. No, but, I hate him.
Yeah. Oh my god. I'm not a big fan. But okay. But no, I was just gonna say about like to you guys' point about Logan. He doesn't really excite me that much one way or the other. But I do think, so far, he is the most sort of healthy person for Rory at the stage in her life where she is. And he does end up being a comfort or a help to her when it all starts tumbling down at the end of the season. And I do really appreciate him for that. Like, up until this point, as I said, there's absolutely nothing to dislike about Logan, except that he's a little bit arrogant. But I think that's kind of, again, you know, that's not really a make it or break it kind of deal for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll leave it there for our season 5 discussion, and we'll jump into some feedback. If you want to let us know your thoughts on this episode or what you thought for season 6 when we record that next time, you can get in touch with us. We are on Twitter at Hyperbole Hype. We're also on Instagram at Hyperbole Hype. We ask for feedback there too sometimes. You can email us if you have something longer to say, hype@hyperbole.com, or of course you can always leave us a comment on the podcast post for this episode over on hyperbole.com. So we'll start with an email. Pam, did you want to read that?
Sure. This is from Alexa, and she says, I was so excited you all read my email in the season 3 episode. You all made some great points. When I said I thought Emily was treated unfairly, I was totally talking about the audience. All the time I hear people say, oh, I hate Emily, she's just a insert naughty word here, without giving a thought to her history and complexity. That being said, even I, who spent her lunch hour writing to you all a ridiculously long email about my love for Emily Gilmore, had no defense for her actions in Wedding Bell Blues. That was just awful and probably the most upsetting thing for me in the show. Seeing how absolutely broken Lorelai was in Say Something, season 5, episode 14, hurt my heart. We see and hear all about how Luke pined after Lorelai like a puppy for years, but now we are really seeing how much she loved him too. This time Emily doesn't get us. She just wants what's best for her daughter passed from me. There is a difference between wanting what is best and using manipulation to force your will upon people and ruin lives. Not okay, Emily. That being said, I was so happy that they were able to work it out. A lot of fans are mad they didn't get a fairy tale proposal from Luke. I've also heard the opinion that Lorelai only proposed because she was sad about Rory and just looking for closeness. but the way they played it out was so raw and beautiful. She sat there listening to Luke completely lose it over the idea of Roy leaving Yale, and in that moment realized how much this man loved her daughter and how much she loved him. So perfect. Side note, Woman of Questionable Morals is my favorite episode of the whole show. So freaking hilarious and emotional and classic Gilmore Girls. Loving the podcast as always, Alexa. And then she has a question for us here. She wants to know how we feel about Netflix releasing all the episodes at once.
Boo, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I kind of wish they would stretch it out a bit.
I like the fandom. I've talked about this before. I feel like Netflix sort of removes our chance to have online fandom the way that we used to for stuff like this, because they just like, blah, have it all and do with it what you will. So
yeah, and it's stressful because you feel like you have to watch it all immediately so you don't get spoiled because everyone else can. So you're like, oh, I have to, you know. I mean, it would be kind of fun to like space it out over a week or I don't know.
And selfishly, we'd like some space we can figure out what we're going to do for those episodes.
Because we don't know how that's going to work. So if they could have done them like a week apart, that would have been great. But we'll see. Okay, we have some comments. These are from our last podcast post. We have one from Raven who says, I'm not an advocate for cheating, especially in marital relationships, and maybe it's because this is a fictional situation, but I don't see a problem with what Rory and Dean did. It's not like Dean is the first person in Stars Hollow to marry or be engaged to someone while having unresolved feelings for someone else. Lorelai, Christopher, Luke, who are really old enough to know better. But at 19, Dean, Lindsay, and Rory are at an age where it's okay to make mistakes and follow through with the what-if scenario. Dean can see if he can really keep up with Rory now that she's out of Stars Hollow. For Lindsay, it's a wake-up call, and if they decide to stay together, they can see if this is something they can work through to have a deeper relationship. Rory can see if she still wants to be in a relationship with Dean, even with all the new experiences opening up to her. If not, she may end up with lifelong will-they-won't-they thing like her parents. I mean, I can't agree with that.
I disagree with that too. I think there's a big difference, first of all, between having feelings for someone else
and acting,
which is what it is in Luke and Lorelai and Christopher's case, and sleeping with someone else. And I think even when you're 19, sleeping with someone else, when you're with someone, that is cheating and that's like a terrible thing. But if you've made the commitment to marry someone, you should know better. You know, I think that's sort of a very clear break of what is okay in terms of exploration.
Yeah. Although I think what she might also be trying to say is like, they're so immature, like they're almost not ready to be making the decisions that they're making.
Oh, I agree with that for sure.
So, yeah, that's true.
And therefore it's like, it's not like right, but you understand it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I get that part of it for sure.
All right. And we have one more comment on Dean. Selena, did you want to grab that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is from Larissa. And she sent us a long comment. And I'm so happy because we have our Dean fan who has written into us like we asked. So thank you. So she says, okay, guys, I have been contemplating saying something for a while now. But since you brought it up again and nobody's spoken, yes, I am a Dean fan. I'm a newbie to the show and I'm watching along with you. As I write this, I'm 7 episodes into season 5. In season 1, I pretty much agreed with you guys that Dean was kind of dull and I was looking forward to the entrance of Jess because it sounded like fans really liked him. But from the moment he stepped off the bus, I had an extreme dislike for him and I started to like Dean more. At this point in the show, I do not get the Jess love or the Dean hate. I figured Merriman Pam only liked Jess because he gets better at a later season that I haven't seen yet, a Xander kind of deal. But hearing that Selena likes him so much, I don't get it. I was surprised during your season 3 discussion that you guys thought Jess is more mature than Rory in certain ways. While I understand what you meant by it, I don't agree, and it felt like you guys were giving him a pass for the really ass-like things he was doing to her. Maybe I had too many Jess-like guys in my life as a teenager who hurt me, but I have such a strong negative reaction to him every time I see him. He feels like a ticking time bomb. Since season 2, I felt for Dean and wanted good things for him. He may not have all the quick wit that Jess and many other characters have on the show, but he's an uncommonly good guy. He's made plenty of his own mistakes, but he feels a lot more self-aware than Jess. I love that Larissa wrote in and expressed this point of view, especially because she's in the same situation as me and watching for the first time. I wrote a long response on the post, which, you know, sort of goes into my feelings as well about Xander and Buffy and all of those kind of things. But I will just say, for me, the reason I like Jess is not because necessarily because I like him as a person. I feel like I've said this before too, that I like what Jess has the potential to be. And this is coming from a place, I don't know if he comes back. I don't know if he's changed. I don't even know how I could see him change within this short span of time. But I feel like Jess is a troubled, like the things he does and says to other people is outrageous. It's not okay. Like it's no way am I sort of liking Jess means that I give him a pass for the things he does and says. But I think he's an interesting character to follow. And I think I see a potential for development in him, whereas in Dean, all I see is the potential to regress and to, as I think he did. You know, I think when he started out in season one, he was relatively harmless. And the more we got to know him and his views on women that should wear Marilyn Monroe dresses and cook him dinner, that he should sit there as the man of the house and, you know, judge. By the way, that scene, you guys.
I'm still not over that scene.
But you know, like I feel like there's, when I say I like Jess, it's not, and I feel like it's the same with Xander, which we kind of did discuss on Hype too. Like, I would never make a snap judgment about Xander based on what he is in the early seasons. Not even if I hadn't seen the later seasons, because I can, you know, you can tell this is a character who's just starting out on his journey. And even though Jess is a very different character, I have the same sense that this is a character that is in this horrible place because he's going to go to different places in the future. I don't have that sense with Dean, and I could be totally wrong, but nothing I've seen so far has convinced me otherwise. I spoke for a long time, so I'm going to stop now, but I hope that makes sense.
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, I think Pam and I have probably made our feelings on Dean pretty clear, and I think it's more interesting to hear from you as someone else like Larissa, who is a newbie to the show. So, you know, I'll be interested to hear, Larissa, you should let us know what you think about kind of Dean and Logan and like that dynamic, because I feel like that's a very different one to the sort of the Dean versus Jess one that we saw earlier on. Now that once you finish the season and listen to this, I'll be really interested to hear what you think. Okay, so we also have some tweets from you guys. Remember, these are from Twitter at HyperbuleHype. We have one from Melissa who says, Logan feels like a Jess repeat. Kyrek and Jess is blamed. Boat stealing and Logan is blamed. Rory innocent in neither. That is fair. I think that is very fair. Selena, do you want to grab the next one?
Yes. The Lady Ash says, loved everything Luke and Lorelai. They are just everything and I'm so terrified they'll break up. Same. of course, Lindsay was going to find the letter. It's like people don't know how to have an affair anymore. The party for Rory with the eligible men was sad even for Emily. The Hunger Games of who will marry my granddaughter. All the Rory stuff at the end of the season, hints she was in over her head, but I don't know. So many other solutions. Proposal makes sense and was so genuine. Luke was 100% on Lorelai's side and she doesn't find that easily. I love this season. I agree 100% with everything that you said, the Lady Ash.
Nice. Pam?
Sorry, I started talking and I was still muted. My bad. We also have another tweet here from H21 Triple who says, season 5 Gilmore Girls special question. Favorite job of Kirk's so far? Also, your thoughts on single Emily and Richard during their separation? Well, I think we talked about Emily and Richard, but does anybody have a favorite Kirk job? I think I just like when he gets like involved in random things of the town, like when he was the official poll person for Jackson's election against Taylor.
When he was like the ribbon collector. I like the ribbon collector one. Or like the ribbon given out and Rory's doing it. Oh, isn't it in this season where he like tries to get a job at the inn and he keeps like sneaking in there and like trying to work in the kitchen
Yeah, that's that was funny. Amazing. That yeah. was so fun. Oh my God, you guys, the Kirk reveal. We totally didn't talk about the payoff to all of the jobs he's had. It turned
out that Kirk rich. Has reloaded. Yeah.
I love that. That was amazing.
And he keeps he's it all like, in cash. That's like, great.
He's like, I've had like 15,000 jobs. And you're like, you have. You really have.
That was so great. I loved how they called that out. I thought that was so clever and funny. I loved that. I still think my favorite Kirk thing is just when he made that short film, which isn't really a job, I guess, but I that's still so hysterical to me. And I love every time he's like trying to help Taylor and failing miserably. I love Kirk in general. I think he's so great.
Fair.
And I actually did, I think it's going to be a controversial thing, but I actually think I prefer Emily and Richard apart, because when they are united against Lorelai, and I don't like that. And I think she had a fair chance with them separately, but okay. So Laura Morrow says, I really love this season. I'm not the biggest fan of Logan and Rory, but it was a good change for her. I hate the last episodes. I want to punch Logan's father in the face. Ugh, he is so horrible.
Yeah, Mitchum is the worst. That is true.
Yeah.
And we have one last one from Claire. This is for Selena, who wants to know, did you enjoy the Buffy reference? What Buffy reference? Tell us
they
more.
They shouted out Spike and Drusilla. Of all people.
What? When?
It was just like, at one point, I know at one point in the season, someone was like, blah, 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 blah. It's like Spike and Drusilla. And I was like, oh my God. Because I know that Amy Sherman-Palladino is a Buffy fan. So I thought that was a fun poll.
That's amazing.
Of course
amazing.
She's a Spike fan. Like, it figures.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, so true. So true. Oh, it all fits. I mean, we did talk about that back on that, like, season 3 special or whatever. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for sending in all of your feedback. Before we finish up, Selena, it's time for you to embarrass yourself and give predictions.
Oh my God. Yes, I'm continuing my proud tradition of not preparing anything in advance. So this is going to be fun.
Well, last time it worked, so.
I know. Let's see if I can do that again. I don't think I can do that again. I think that season 6... I have a feeling that we're heading like into something bad, because I think, especially when it comes to Luke and Lorelai, just because, as I said, it's too soon. They're not going to have a happy ending now. They're not going to get married. Things are going to fall apart. And I don't know why. I have a theory. I'm actually not going to share this because this is 100% a spoiler. And I know there are other newbies listening, but I know something about Luke that doesn't make any sense in the context of the show so far.
I know what it is.
Going to get introduced soon.
Same.
We'll talk about that after.
Oh gosh, good times.
Oh no. Talk about so external complications.
Sure. Exactly. And I'm like, sure, that maybe not that, but something is going to get introduced that's going to end it. And it may or may not have something to do with that. And what else? I think that I'm wondering about Rory's future. Like, I'm really not sure where the story's going to go with that. Because I want to say, I think she goes...
Well, do you think she's going back to school?
I was going to say, I think she will go back to school. Although, as I'm speaking, I'm like, I wonder if Richard and Emily could just make her career happen. Like, because they know all those people. But I think she goes back to school. There was a vague comment that was like, oh, well, maybe I'll go to Harvard instead. So I'm like, oh, that would be really interesting if she like actually ended up going to Harvard. And then that would make her further away from Lorelai, which I'm sure Emily and Richard would like. So that's like a possibility for what might happen. What else? Is there anything else about her love life? I think Jess is coming back this year? Yes, I think Jess is coming back this year.
What about her and Logan?
I think that Logan is going to do something that's going to make Merriman and Pam not like him. he's probably like, I don't know, he's going to like form a band with Dean. I don't
really like
the
boys
and
bands.
Yeah, I think that maybe the whole like him trying to be, because I feel like we get the sense that he is kind of like out there like partying and with girls and everything, but we haven't really seen it a lot because you know, he it's kind of like tell instead of show with Logan. Like a lot of the things about his character are sort of inferred, so I feel like we're gonna see some of that. I think it's gonna be really hard for him to, like, he hasn't listened to Luke and Jess's self-help tape, so he's not gonna like flip his personality on a dime. So I think
imagine if he
gonna,
does
like,
though. Maybe that's the season six thing.
Like, Luke is like, psst. And I think, but I think that Jess is going to come back because I think there's going to have to be some kind of confrontation between Jess and Logan. Like, they are the only two who haven't, like, really met yet in that sense and haven't really been confronted with each other. And I don't know if I have many other predictions. I hope that Lorelai and Emily works it out, but I think it's going to be a long time, you know, if the emotional currents sort of stay where they have been. I think that's it. I think that's pretty much all I got. And I think that Zach and Lane are going to get married.
All right. Well, there you have it. Selena has written the next season, and it's
yes,
an exciting
there you
one.
Go.
Last time you basically did. Do you want to predict anyone's going to die? Last time, that's what you missed out on.
I know. Oh my god. Okay, who is old and can die? I think that Logan's dad is going to die. Or I hope so. Anyway.
Okay.
There you go. My prediction.
Well, if any of our listeners have anything to say about it. Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's it,
please.
for our season 5 episode. It was a little longer than usual, but we had lots to talk about. We hope you guys appreciated. We will let you know when we will be back to record season 6, but it will be, I guess, in the next month or so. That's kind of the schedule that we're on at the moment. So get watching season 6. Let us know what you think about it. Selena already started. She totally cheated. You can go back to it now.
So
you can go back and watch it now.
I'm so excited, you guys. I'm so ready.
And we're totally going to finish this on time for the 25th of November.
Yes.
So we are very excited about that. And and we're still not sure what we're doing about the specials, but we'll let you know that too when we work that out. So yeah, we'll be back next time. And until then, I guess we'll all just go listen to that self-help tape. Seems to be the only way people get improvement on this show. But imagine if that actually happened. Like,
I would be so good. I would be so excited. Gilmore Girls would be
great.
My favorite show if that happened.
Oh my god. Well, I wonder what show that we like will be shouted out next season. That's what you should have predicted.
I know.
He had the Buffy one.
You
probably can't improve on that.
No.
Yeah. Okay. We're done. Goodbye. The end.
Yay. Goodbye. Yeah. Did we give contact information?
Yeah, I did it before the feedback.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
People know.
Is that okay?
Go back.
Do you want me to do it again?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
People know.
Are we done?
Know.
Should I stop recording?
Yeah, we can stop.
Okay.
That's
pretty
good. Yeah.
You all sound so far behind.
Oh, the joys of editing.
Oh, love life. I love that thing, though. It works out so well.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I feel like I should stop saying the phrase. I love the clap out loud. It's just, like,
no, you should always say it.
We're normalizing here.
Yeah, we are normalizing.